Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. We got Jill in the studio. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
And we've got Rick. I think we're going to get him here on the phone. Morning, Rick.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How are you?
Awesome.
Yeah, we're sliding here into December, and all of a sudden, since the last time we all talked, for lots of the province, it's kind of a lot more white than it was. I think, you know, it is one of those things that I do admit puts you into the Christmas season and the Christmas spirit. It's like it's been all Christmas for me this weekend. So, like, yesterday my wife and I started with, we went out and did some shopping at Dutch Growers, because we picked up all of our greens, finally. Got to do that.
Okay.
And so that's a walk through Christmas heaven, if you're looking for it. If you're looking for that taste of Christmas, you guys have all the trees up, and then, you know, and all the greens and the live trees and everything. But anyways, I started with that, and then we came home and we decorated our tree and put the little tree up in our bedroom. We have a little one up there with all of the vintage stuff on it.
Aww,
it's a silver tree.
That's very you.
I guess. So we've got like old ornaments from both sides of my family, and my wife's got some from her family as well.
Yeah.
So we put them all together, very breakable glass antique ornaments. And some of them are dated. That used to be a thing, right? People would get an ornament, they'd put a date on it. So I've got ones my grandma signed from 1950 and stuff like that.
I do that with my kids every year. They go and they pick an ornament, we put the date on it, so it's kind of fun hanging them up on the tree.
Exactly. Yeah. Right, so I've got a collection of that stuff on and we use the old lights. I'd actually go, I think, on Amazon to find them, but they're not even like the glass little twinkle lights from the 90s. We're talking like the little C5 bulbs or C6 bulbs, Rick. They're like a you know, about an inch tall, those little bulbs. And they're ones that are paint, like dipped in paint.
Yes.
Right? So they have such a nice warm glow.
Did you find some replacement bulbs for those ones too?
Whole box. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't mean to endorse Amazon, but they got it all there. So it's when you have the vintage stuff, you just have to have that right glow. As cool as LEDs are in the new world we live in,
you need that like warm.
Oh yeah, that warm, just
sort of orangey colored glow.
Yeah, just that's the old feeling. So anyways, put that up, and then had a Christmas party at friends of ours' place, and they just go absolutely over the top. It was a Home Alone themed Christmas party, right? Based on the Home Alone movies. Back in the 90s, and we're all kind of the same age where we grew up watching that
stuff. They had the figurines moving across the windows.
Everything from that to all the food that matches to the drinks that matched and decor. It was over the top. So
that's amazing.
And we all dressed up too, right? Mm-hmm. So I was hairy, covered in feathers, you know, like the when he walks through the feathers.
My kids joke because I have a red brick house, and they always think, oh, Mom, we need to do a Home Alone house. Maybe I should one year.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
That'd be fun.
And then today we're putting together those Christmas greens with my parents and going to have a meal and watch a Christmas movie. So it's all Christmas this weekend for me. So
that's amazing.
Kicking it off as we slide into December.
I love that. I had a little bit of a Christmas fail yesterday.
Uh-oh.
So my kids and I, we went and picked out our Christmas tree and we brought it home. Did our fresh cut, put it in, had the stand, and I had a flood in my basement, so everything got put into the sea can. And so I went to grab my stand out, and I was missing the disc that goes in the bottom of my stand. And I was thinking, you know what? These screws, they're strong enough. This tree is not that tall. It's only 6 feet tall.
Rick's laughing already.
It's going to be fine. So me and Nash, we went and we set the tree up, and we're just heading to hockey, just running out the door last night. And I hear a big crash. The tree falls.
No.
Falls over. And he looks at me and goes, Mom, I don't think that worked. But it was a fun little project. We ended up brainstorming a little bit after hockey, and we went over to their dad's house, and we used my grandpa's old bandsaw, and we cut a little disc out of some wood, and we screwed it onto the bottom of the tree, and we figured out a way. Hey, Dad, and you weren't even home to help, so.
Wow.
We figured it out, and the tree is still standing this morning and drinking so much water.
Oh, really?
Yeah, probably about 8 liters of water from last night until this morning, so quite a bit of water. Yeah.
How about you, Rick? Any Christmas activities down there?
No, most of our Christmas activities, we're going to be heading home this the end of this week. And so then when we get home, then my wife's going to have me very busy decorating the house very quick.
Cool. Awesome. Well, 1-877-332-8255. Enough about us. Let's talk about you. We're going to go right now to our first call, who is in Melfort, and Pat's going to join us. Hello, Pat.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Awesome. What's your question about?
My question is regarding amaryllis. I started with the amaryllis journey with one of the wax-colored ones a few years ago and just loved it. So I've planted amaryllis every year with usually good success. But this year I planted four bulbs in one pot. They're coming up about, you know, 3-4 inches high. But the leaves are, the one of a couple of the plants, the leaves are falling right down. And I'm wondering if I'm overwatering, how much watering should I be doing after the bulbs are in the ground, like okay. in your pot?
And are these bulbs that you've used from previous years, or are they new bulbs?
No, they're previous bulbs, yes.
Yeah, previous bulbs. And were they the ones with the wax on them, too?
No. These are all new.
Okay.
No, all new about, say, 2-3 years ago.
And when you planted them, all the bulbs feel nice and firm? And
yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
And did you leave about an inch or at least a half an inch in between each bulb, or are any of them touching?
No, not touching at all.
Okay, perfect.
No.
Okay, so those are the things I just wanted to get out of the way, because that will make a difference as well for you. With the amaryllis bulbs, you're best to underwater than overwater. So my guess, without seeing anything, is that you're overwatering them, because that will cause the leaves to sort of turn limp and a little bit yellow. Okay?
Okay.
It will do the same thing if you're underwatering, but most of the time, those bulbs, they have so much moisture in them. That's why they coat them in wax, is because they actually, when they coat them in wax, the bulb has enough moisture in it to sustain the life and the growth of that bulb, right?
Okay.
So the only thing is, when you're planting it in soil, some of the moisture is leaching out into the soil as well, too. So that's why you're having to add some water when you're putting it into the soil, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just water them every once in a while just to keep that soil a little bit moist, but it should be quite dry in between watering. So my guess is it might be a little bit of an overwatering issue.
Okay, that makes sense. And I have to mention, I was in your store this week, and your selection of the wax-covered amaryllis bulbs is awesome.
Aren't they amazing?
So, oh, they're so pretty. Yes, yes, gorgeous, just gorgeous.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you so much. I enjoy your show every Sunday morning.
Oh, that's great, Pat. Thanks for listening and calling. Take care.
Yeah. Take care. You too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, well, that's actually a good moment just to stop down for our first break. Then we talk to Pat and get that through, and we'll come back with more of what's happening in the Garden Center and all kinds of stuff on the way. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Morning and welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay. We've got Jill here in the studio. We got Rick on the phone and he's all locked in and ready to go. So it's time. Give us a call. 1-877-332-8255 or text us just like Marie in Thompson Lake did. So we'll start the segment with this and we'll talk to Boyd what's going on in the Garden Center in a second here. But Marie in Thompson Lake says, I have this Easter cactus that's dropping its leaves, getting some dead spots on the side of the leaves and stems. Can you tell me what's wrong with it? And will it affect or take over or be a bother to my other, you know, house plants? So we got a picture here from Marie, and it's just kind of a really sparse looking, it's an Easter cactus, she said?
Yeah. So,
what do you think, Jill?
So we have changed the name of calling them holiday cactuses now, because depending on the grower, they're growing different types of cactuses at different times. But this one has a rounder type leaf on it. So yes, it is an Easter cactus. Now this guy here, it's hard to tell from looking at a picture, but looking at the darkness of the soil, I can't stick my finger in it, but I would suggest maybe do that, or even stick, like a popsicle stick or even a Chinese chopstick or something like that down into the bottom and see how the soil is doing deep down. It looks like the soil is quite dark. So that's what I would say is maybe it's being overwatered.
Okay.
Is number one.
Yep.
No, it's right next to a window, so it might be getting lots of light. My question would be is what, if it's a north window, it might not be enough light.
Mm-hmm.
Now with that, you can actually do a little bit of pruning on it. It looks like it's quite an old cactus and it's got some nice woody growth on it. So you can just do some light trimming on it. Maybe just even trim some of the tips out of it. Some of those yellow leaves, some of those leaves that maybe aren't looking as good. And you can do that as well with it right now too. That actually might even promote some new growth, and then you'll get some blooms on it. Now this one will be, you want to do most of your pruning on this one, usually around, February, March, but Yeah, the molding that we're seeing on the leaves or the browning is usually a sign of overwatering.
Okay.
So it looks like you got a fungal on there. It means something's happening down in the root system.
So the question she asked was, is this going to infect my other cactuses in the house?
Well, because you sort of have a white fungus growing on the leaves, fungals are spread by spores when they get to that stage. Mm. So if you have any airflow or movements like that, then it might spread to some of them. I would probably move it away from some of your other ones or pinch some of those leaves off and discard them. It doesn't look like the whole plant is covered in those spots, but
right.
I would pinch the ones off that are really bad. And then just make sure you wash your hands afterwards.
It is actually part of the cactus family, right?
It is in the cactus succulent family, yeah.
So they do tend to like it a little bit drier.
Yeah, drier, except for when they're in the blooming stage, then they like a little bit more moist. Yeah.
That's definitely not the case of this one at the moment.
No, it's not in bloom right now. You're starting to see brown spots. The soil does look quite dark just from looking at that picture. So my suggestion is slow down on the watering.
It also just means, though, I was going to say that like they tolerate being like kind of neglected a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like all the succulents I have, you're like, oh, you're looking kind of sad. I guess I'll give you some water now. That's when I water them. Then they perk back up and they're really happy for a long time. You know?
And if you want to take that one, tip it on its side, pop it out of the pot and examine the roots a little bit too. Mm-hmm. They don't have a huge, huge root system on them, but they will have enough of a root system on them that you can have a look at them and maybe even clean out if there's any mold or anything like that growing in the bottom of that pot. You can clean that out, put some fresh soil in there that's maybe a little bit drier.
My mother-in-law's got a pink Christmas cactus that is just loaded right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
So like, many beautiful colors.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Now, Jill.
Yes.
What do you think about, it's an older cactus, and what type of fertilizer should they use if they want to perk it up again? And also, what type of soil should they use?
Yeah, they'll want to be using a succulent cactus soil, which has a little bit more of sand and perlite in it. If you're making your own, I would just make sure that usually one third is usually what I would use as a regular mixture, and I'd probably go half perlite, half potting soil if I was going to do that. If you're wanting to fertilize, you can just use a cactus fertilizer. I wouldn't use anything too strong, especially in the winter season when your plant is fairly dormant. You're not watering it very often either. So just a cactus fertilizer would be fine.
Okay. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, I wanted to touch on this and ask you this. I kind of led to it a little bit earlier I was in Dash Growers, but what's happening in the garden center right now? Let's start with that question.
Well, the Christmas trees are in, the poinsettias are in, we're making Grinch trees, the live greens are coming in. A lot of people are stopping and asking about pruning questions as well, too. Like I mentioned before, with the leaves off the trees, they're starting to see things like maybe a little bit of black knot or maybe, as Rick calls it, poop on a stick, seeing a little bit of that in the trees and asking about pruning, or maybe they have a fruit tree that, you know what, now they've looked at it and they're like, okay, well, this branch is kind of going off to the side a little bit. Maybe I want to do a little bit of pruning. So lots of those questions, people coming in, getting their safe salt for their driveways, something that's going to be like an ice melt, that's going to be okay, not destroy the integrity of the soil when you put it down on your driveway. So picking up those things, amaryllis, lots of questions about amaryllis and Christmas cactus or holiday cactuses right now. And people are in the spirit, and it's exciting this time of year. House plants, though, I actually just did this. All of my house plants, I took them and I put them in my kitchen and I did a deep clean of them yesterday too. Moving your house plants around, I'm seeing so many little memes. I guess it must be my algorithm a little bit. But what does a plant lover do? Well, they just move their house plants around 47 times a week in the winter season.
Yeah,
so figuring out different places we can put them, grouping them together different ways, adding different grow lights. So a lot of educating, a lot of diagnosing little bugs and fungal problems as people are bringing their plants in indoors or having time to examine their plants. We notice these little issues, and so a lot of little diagnostic stuff. We get to be little plant doctors and plant nerds a little bit at the garden center right
now.
It's fun.
Rick, I want to go back to something with you here. We're kind of that magical time when it's a good time to do some pruning, and we don't have to tromp through like 2 feet of snow right now yet. What should we be pruning?
Well, you can prune all your fruit trees. You can prune all your deciduous shrubs, like your dogwoods, your nine bark, and your potentilla and spirea. You can prune all those if you want. the smaller shrubs, I don't like to prune a whole lot this time of the year, especially things like hydrangeas. The only thing I do with hydrangeas is just take the flower heads off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's it. The rest of it, I like to leave as much up as I can because then it catches snow.
Okay.
If it catches snow, it protects the roots a lot more because we don't have a lot of snow yet, so that's important. And that's what you could do, too, is if you get some snow and then you have your plants or your tender plants don't have as quite much snow, take a little bit of snow off the grass and then put it up against those over top of those plants to give them just a little bit of extra protection.
Okay, yeah.
I know when I'm clearing my sidewalk, sometimes it's the first intuition just to, like, throw the snow onto the grass instead of onto the shrubs and perennials, and I've had to change the way of doing things, so I actually am throwing it more on my perennials now and my hydrangeas and all those types of things instead of throwing it onto the grass. I'll leave that for later, but it's just a really good idea. Snow is your best insulator, so.
Where do you stop pruning?
Once you get over 20, then I stop, just for... mainly for myself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
but otherwise, yeah, otherwise, if after that, then just wait until you have a warm period, or otherwise wait until March. March or the first week of April is an awesome time to prune as well.
Okay. Let's do a quick call here, see if we can get Lana all answered up. Lana's in Eagle Lake. Hi, Lana. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. What's your question for us today?
So my question is, I have a little Japanese maple bonsai tree that I've had for, I don't know, 22 years or something. And it's in cold storage room now. Usually I prune it in the springtime. But I notice now, because it was such a warm, long fall, it's almost got, I can see like the buds are a little bit swollen. You know what I mean? Like they're almost getting ready to do their spring thing. But anyways, can I prune this now?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You can prune right now. It'd actually be a better time to prune it as soon as you bring it into the house rather than pruning it in the spring. Because
okay.
Once they start to stop, start to move, they'll want those little tips will start to bleed a little bit. And especially if you got them in the house, you don't want them to bleed, you know, onto the ground.
Yeah, no, presently it's in cold storage. So it's in, like, my dark room, you know what I mean, where
there's
no heat and it's just dark all the time.
Yeah, no, like I said, the best time to prune it is once it's gone a bit dormant from the leaves drop off and prune them right away then while it's in storage. And then you're ready to go for spring.
Okay, can I ask you one other question?
Well, we got about 30 seconds. So what we'll do, Lana, is I'll put you on hold for a second. We can get you on the off the air here to just answer that one. So just hang on tight, okay?
Appreciate that.
One
Thank
second,
you.
Hang on. All right, so we're going to go to a quick break here. We got a news update for everybody in a second. Lana will get figured out with Rick here off the air. And we'll be back with more after that. Give us a text, give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. Thanks for spending Sunday morning here with us. I'm Jay with Jill. She's in the studio and Rick's on the phone. We got the whole gang together here. And Lana had a really great question about
plumeria
that we talked about on the break there. She sounds like she's quite the gardener. Like,
yeah.
That's neat when
she collects her rainwater and has it sitting in her basement. And
like 25 5-gallon pails sitting ready to go and all kinds of stuff.
She's got her bonsais going, which is an art form in and of itself. So.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Love that. Would love to see pictures sometime too.
Yeah, you can always text us pictures at 1-877-332-8255, just like our next texter did. You're right there, Rick. You're banging around.
Yeah, I'm right here.
He's renovating the house while he's on the garden show. Marge sent us this text. This is an asparagus fern plant. Should I cut off these stringy things, as she says? Are they roots? Is it lack of light causing this? Thanks for the info. So that is a little picture that she sent us. And an asparagus fern, so it's a fern, type of fern, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's very different. It's very spindly looking, you could say. That's the nature of the plant. We're not saying it's a spindly plant.
And it's called an asparagus fern because it throws those off, and it almost like an asparagus would, throwing off those fronds, right?
Right, okay.
So it is reaching a little bit for the light. You can cut them off. It will just put more energy back down into the base of the plant if you want to. I find they don't look very nice, those long spindly things.
It's kind of like a spider plant.
Yeah,
exactly. Sends off those little shoots. You can take the babies off of them and propagate, or you can just cut them down and keep the plant. Right?
Absolutely. So if you want to take them off, you can. It's just another way of a plant reproducing itself.
Okay. So, and that is typically what happens when they get like sort of lack of light, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're stressed a little bit or something's going on there. They'll shoot off these spikes, and it sort of is a way of sort of extending its life a little bit.
So for Marge, maybe that's one that you want to get closer to a window?
Yeah, closer to a window. It likes bright indirect light, so not right in a window, but with the light changes in the winter, you could have it fairly close to a south or west window, and it's not going to do any harm because the windows already are going to sort of filter that light a bit.
Okay. This is another text from Jamie, and Jamie's got a good long one here. Thanks for your awesome show, says Jamie. I have a question about my amaryllis. I got it last year, and it bloomed beautifully in the holiday season. Kept it all year and had two giant long leaves on it in the house up until the middle of October. Mm-hmm. At which time I took your advice, put it in a dark closet, no water. When I pulled it out of the closet end of November, the leaves were shriveled right back, where I could just pull them off. Okay. As you can see, oh, she says she sent a picture here. Ooh, I don't have a picture. Jamie, if you're listening, send us a picture. We didn't come through, so try that again. But anyways, in the picture, it looks like this now. Is it normal? Are the leaves going to come back, or is it dead? I don't know. I've never had an amaryllis and kept it before. So
what you want to do when the leaves shrivel is you actually want to cut them off at the base of the leaves so that you just have bulb left. And then you want to take the bulb out of the soil and replant it back into the soil again. And then that will help reset it. Start watering it, give it some sunlight or some heat. Some bottom heat works really well, and it will start growing again for you. So everything you've done sounds great. You've let the leaves die back. Just the only thing we've missed is just cut those leaves right off and let it start all over again.
And it's just replanting it.
Repot it. It likes to be in a pot that's not too large. I usually like to put about an inch on either side of the bulb in diameter, bigger than the bulb, and just put it back into a pot and let it go.
Okay. 1-877-332-8255. I thought we'd talk about this. Let's talk about some care for some of the Christmas specific plants that we're getting, you know, this time of year. So we've talked a little bit about amaryllis already, what you do with that, right? And if you get one in the wax, there's nothing to do.
No, actually my kids brought them to their teachers for parent teacher interviews so that they can put them in the window, just because it is something that's simple and the kids can kind of watch grow as the season progresses, and the teacher doesn't have an added responsibility either of watering this plant.
Right.
But as far as poinsettias, choosing your poinsettia. So the poinsettia, the red part of the poinsettia is actually the leaves, and the flower is the little yellow, almost look like little berries in the center of the stem. And so when those kind of open up and they look nice and yellow, that's when your plant is actually blooming. So you want to look to see that you got a nice healthy plant. It should be full right to the base so that you know it's been spaced properly when it's been growing. A lot of them will have a ring around the edge of them just to hold up the weight of the plant because they're in such a small pot.
Yep.
Many of them are in quite a large foil, and the foil will go up and around the plant a little bit. I would suggest pulling that back from the plant because the poinsettia does give off an ethylene gas. And if that ethylene gas gets trapped in amongst the bottom of the plant, the leaves are going to start dropping. And that's why in grocery stores, when you see them all, you'll see a bunch of yellow leaves at the base of the plants because they've just been packed on those carts for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
They just eventually start falling off. Also, that's due to the lack of light too. You want to keep them away from like a heat source, like maybe a vent or something that will like dry them out and sort of prevent that. But you also want to keep them away from drafts. They do not like to be cold. Remember, these plants are native to like ditches in Mexico.
Ditches in Mexico, yeah. Right.
So treat them as such. They like to dry out slightly between waterings and then have thorough waterings in between. And they don't like their feet to be wet. Now, when I say feet, I mean their roots. So if they are sitting in a pot without a hole in it or in a foil sleeve, you want to make sure you empty that excess water out of them. Another plant that is really popular right now is like a lemon cypress tree, or you see these as little Grinch trees.
Right, yes.
These ones are actively growing cypress trees indoors, and they're not a hardy variety that in Saskatchewan you can put outside and it's going to grow into a big cedar or cypress tree. But they are something that you can usually save, and you can put in the centerpiece of an annual container in the spring if you want to.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Most common bug that we see on these is spider mite later on in the season. So how you can prevent that is just by humidity. So misting them every once in a while is really important. Mm-hmm. And also you can't let them dry out. You need to keep them moist all the time. So they are usually in quite a small pot, and they dry out. They're usually in like a bark mixture that's going to drain fast. So when I'm watering them, I usually take them over to a sink and give them a good thorough water and make sure that they stay hydrated all the time. If you're going away, make sure you give them to somebody who can check on them, because if you leave them for a week and don't water them, you'll come back to a crispy plant.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brown and crispy.
Exactly. And I would a pebble tray for that one.
Yeah, you can add a pebble tray, which is just a plant tray. Add some rocks on it, fill it up with water so that the plant isn't sitting in the water, but it's sitting on top of the rocks. And then that humidity is going to evaporate around the outside. Side edge. You can use this practice in a lot of your house plants. Humidity is really important in our houses, especially with our plants in the wintertime, because we have so much of our heat, sun, and everything like that is drying our plants out, and they need that humidity, especially if you want to keep spider mite out of your plants.
How about some other like traditional Christmas? I mean, we've talked about a little bit Christmas cactus. We've touched on that a little bit, right? The holiday cactus. How about like mistletoe? Do you guys get mistletoe in?
Mistletoe is a tricky one for us to get, and we haven't carried it. Sometimes we'll get dried mistletoe in, but in transportation, it just doesn't do well. So there's plants that you can get that are like mistletoe-like if you want to.
Okay.
So there's like a little, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank right now, but it's sort of a globe-like plant, and it's got little red berries on it. Mistletoe usually has white berries on it and a little round leaf. You'll see some holly, which is kind of fun, and you can see holly either as a cut, or else you can see it as a, like a little 2-inch potted plant, and you can enjoy that in your house. So that's kind of a fun
that's
one.
Like an old, there's that song, the holly and the ivy, right? Like that's some of the old traditional Christmas time plants.
Yeah.
Right?
Another one is hellebores, and hellebores is a perennial in climate. I guess it would be more like BC, so where Rick is right now. And it has a beautiful star-shaped flower on it. And a lot of people, it reminds them of the Star of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really popular flower for growers to force to bloom at this time of year. Beautiful, elegant. So if you're looking for something that's a little bit more of a specialty novelty item, but we always see that around the Christmas season as well, too.
Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back with more, and time to give us a call or a text, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Here we go with our last segment. I'm Jay with Jill in the studio, and Rick is on the phone. Welcome back to Garden Talk. Okay, a couple of things we're going to touch on. Lana's call is going to come up in just a second here with a follow-up call. We do want to talk about transporting plants in a second, but we've got a text that came in from Faye. No, I guess it's Rose in Outlook. And Rose asks, you were talking about hydrangeas earlier. I have a new young hydrangea in my garden. Is it better to just put one of those green plant covers over or cover it with snow? Rick, what do you think?
Absolutely, cover with snow. One thing about the green plant covers is what happens is that if the snow doesn't cover it totally right over, the frost goes through the green blanket and it gets into the unprotected soil and goes into the roots. And so if you do use any kind of green cover or burlap or whatever you want, leave it 6 inches off the ground, which is important, so that the snow can go and cover the soil and protect the roots, especially because they work. Those green ones work really good in places like Vancouver or Ontario and that kind of stuff. When we go to minus 40, you want that snow cover on the ground right to the stem trunk of the tree, of the plant.
Unfortunately, you know, those green covers are sold at big box stores and don't necessarily come with any, information or guidelines for the use in our climate. So it can be more of a harm than a help in some cases. So for Rose, just let the snow take care of it. There you go. 1-877-332-8255. We had Lana on a little earlier, and she's back. Hi, Lana.
Hey, thank you for allowing me to have another question.
No problem.
Okay, so pruning a maple bonsai. The information we talked about before was the top leaves, but you also prune the roots in a bonsai. Is this the time of year also to do that? If I was going to like move it into a bigger pot, or it's been a long time since I have pruned the roots.
Well, one thing I will say is bonsaiing is a bit of an art. It's one that I'm not necessarily an expert of, but what I've done with the reading I've done is usually when you're pruning the top, you also want to prune the roots at the same time. So the same amount that you're taking off the top, you also want to be taking off the roots too. So you're right. You do usually do the pruning at the same time. I'm just, with that one, I'm not too sure. I'd have to do a little bit more looking into that for you, Lana.
Okay, yeah, no worries.
On those ones, Lana, if you're going to prune it, I always like pruning your maples. The best time to prune them is when they're in the full leaf stage, okay, on maples. Okay. Any other plant I don't necessarily do, but maples I do. So either full leaf or in the fall when they just lose their leaves in the fall, okay? So that's okay. When I like doing it, and she can prune the tops when they're in full, when the leaves are into their openness, their fullest state, okay? Not when they're just young. And then that way the saps aren't pushing up and make it bleed, okay? And the same thing with the roots. Either do it right away in the fall when the leaves drop, or do it basically in July.
So right now, when her plant was just pushing some of those buds out, you were saying like she could do a little bit of pruning now, but you'd more want to do your heavy pruning with maybe your leaves and maybe your roots when it is in full leaf, is what you're saying, Rick.
Once it's in totally full leaf.
Okay, appreciate that. I'm going to wait then until it is in full leaf.
I'm going to do some research, Lana. You've inspired me.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call again.
Yeah.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, so there we go. A couple things answered. Got a couple things figured out. We want to talk about this. We've been talking about Christmas plants and house plants and all the stuff that we bring into our home, whether it's seasonal this time of year or it's because you look outside and it's white and brown and you want some green. Any way we look at it, almost everything we bring in is tropical, mm-hmm. right? So that, when you stop and think about it, the nature of those plants is the habitat they come from is very, very nice, you mm-hmm. know? So when we're transporting them, it's really important to take the right steps, whether it's coming from a garden center or it's coming from a big box store, wherever you're finding a plant that you want in your house, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And making sure we throw a jacket on when we're going outside, and our cells are able to handle quite a bit. Whereas some of these plant, especially if you're talking about like a China doll plant or something with a very thin leaf, those cells are very tender and very brittle. So you even bring it outside. I did some transporting and it was maybe like, it was 3 degrees when I started driving. It was slowly dropping. By the time I got home, it was around that 0 degrees. And I was like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to haul it inside. I did see a little bit of damage from the cold. And usually what I'll see is a little bit of black on the leaves, usually around the outer edge or sort of like silvering or browning of the leaves. And you'll usually see this a couple of days after you've done your transport, not right away.
Right.
So making sure that you're wrapping your plants. Now, rule of thumb, you'll see when we wrap our plants, people will be like, whoa, you use lots of wrapping on your plants. And if it's anywhere between zero or +3 really and -5, we're wrapping them in paper.
Okay.
And then as soon as it's going below -5, we're wrapping them in paper, and then we're also wrapping them in plastic. And the reason why we're doing the plastic is the plastic allows for an air bubble.
Right.
In there.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily, we're adding another layer of something. You might keep the wind away a little bit, but that air is adding an extra little layer of insulation, which is your best insulator in the cold. Now, maybe you're going to the grocery store and you're picking up some plants. You absolutely saw this beautiful poinsettia or this beautiful plant there and you have to have it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Grab a sheet before you go,
like a bed sheet. Yeah.
And wrap your plant in that before you take it out to the car. Or if they give you a plastic bag, wrap it in the bed sheet and then throw the plastic bag over top of it. That is what you would need to do. A lot of times you can't even get the car pulled close enough to the store to be able to quickly run it in. But just even taking it outside when it's below -10 and just running it from the store to the car, those cells are going to burst and you're going to see damage on your plant.
Yeah. So just be really careful, you know, because you get a beautiful poinsettia picked out.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's going to be all great. Then you get it home and it's all gross in a couple of days.
Yeah. So. And the other thing is making sure you take that wrapping off right away because you want to release those gases that are trapped in there too.
One last quick question from Jean, who's in North Battleford. My amaryllis has 3 leaves, 2.5 feet. 2.5 feet.
Yeah,
wow.
Probably.
The stem is not appearing. Can I expect to bloom? It looks like it's finished blooming.
If it hasn't bloomed yet and it has been forced already, so check the packaging. It's hard to say if it's an old bulb, if it's a new bulb. There's a few questions that I have to ask this one to get the firm answers out of it. But if it's a new bulb, if it was already pre-forced, it's going to it's going to bloom eventually. Just have to be patient
for
it.
Exactly. Okay. So yeah. Jean, and if you're looking for a more solid answer, send an email, right?
Yeah. Send an email, info@dutchgrowers.com, even with a picture, and we can definitely help you out there.
And the experts on the other side of that email can take a look and help you with that. Okay. That pretty much does it for us today. We're wrapping things up here. I guess bottom line is protect the plants when you're moving them, right? Don't forget about your other house plants when you're looking after your Christmas tree. Don't let that Christmas tree dry out.
And enjoy this horror frost and this winter wonderland. Take some pictures and send them in to us.
Exactly. All right. We'll be back same time, same place next weekend. Enjoy your week. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This has been Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.